And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Bible prophecy is an incredible instrument of truth. It leads us to conclude that the last days will be so brutal, so vicious, that it will defy the imaginations of men. When I was a young man, I read about some of the atrocities of World War II, and of the horrors of the Soviet purges, the communist purges of the 1930s in particular. And I was horrified. How could man be so brutal and inhuman to man? But I realize now, with more wisdom of years and study of God's Word, that the Bible said these things would happen. Bloodshed on a massive scale. When we read the book of Revelation, we see the horrors of the world in the last days. Having rejected God, the leaders of men shall fully embrace the one who opposes God, the red dragon, which is Satan. Satan requires blood. In the Old Testament, the prophet says, and I'm quoting God because it's thus saith the Lord. The Lord said, all those who hate me love death. Love death. Not too long ago, a gentleman wrote to me, and he said he was perplexed, puzzled, maybe a little angry, because I had suggested that perhaps rogue American leaders, including our own president, George W. Bush, and other neocon Jews around him, and, of course, including in that company, our illustrious Vice President Dick Cheney, had engineered the horror, the blood of 9/11. Do you really believe, the gentleman asked me in his letter, Tex Mars, that our own president, our own leaders would sacrifice 3,000 American lives? I read the letter in really shocked and numbed amusement. Amusement in a way, because this man, so unaware of the history of the world, so unwittingly an accomplice himself, because he doesn't understand there are evil people in this world, and 3,000 lives are like nothing to them. I remember reading an old and ancient book one time that was written in the 18th century. The writer looked around the world and the history even of his day. And that was before the Stalins and the Lenins and the Pol Pots and the other monsters of the 20th century, the barbarians of our day. And this writer said, there are people in this world who find it just as easy to snuff out human lives as they would to take a small bird in their hand and in their palm and crush it to death. It means nothing to them. Ted Bundy, the serial killer of so many women, torturer, who was put to death for his crimes, was asked, why did you do what you did? You know what he said? He had a wry smirk of a smile on his face, and he said, I am a mean S.O.B. I am a mean S.O.B. He had no compunction about torturing. He enjoyed the screams of his victims. Friends, you and I cannot understand the psychopath. We cannot understand the megalomaniac. We cannot understand those who would torture people at Abu Ghraib. We cannot understand how the Nazis took some victims and strung them up with piano wire and tortured them. Those were, by the way, those things were filmed. It was those who had rebelled against Hitler and had planted a bomb. They failed to kill Hitler in that assassination attempt. He was able to gather up the ringleaders and torture them to death, all except one, Field Marshal Rommel. He was a hero of the German people. And they gave him a gun and gave him 15 minutes to say goodbye to his family. And then they told him, you must shoot yourself, kill yourself. If you do not, then we will take you and your entire family away to concentration camps. We will torture all of you and kill you there. He went upstairs. He said goodbye to his wife tearfully, to his children. He came back in his study, put the gun to his head, and blew his brains out. He had attempted to save Germany by joining in an assassination plot to kill Hitler in 1944. He was allowed not to be tortured, but to take the suicide way out because he had been a war hero. But more than that, Field Marshal Rommel, being such a hero to the German people, the German public, Hitler and the Nazis did not want the people to know that he was part of the revolt, that he would be plotting against his Führer, Adolf Hitler. In his book, Under the Sign of the Scorpion, Jerry Lena talks about Vladimir Lenin, who brought communism and a system of horrible evil to the Russian Empire in 1917. When he got reports of how many people had been massacred and tortured and butchered, sometimes he literally would scream in anger and say, not enough blood! Give me more blood! But Vladimir Lenin was lionized by American Jews. American newspapers called him a great hero, the founder of socialism. He will bring justice to the workers of Russia and the world. Let us emulate this man here in America. We need more Lenins, they said. The New York Times even sent a man named Walter Duranty, their ace reporter, to Moscow, Russia, and he sent back glowing stories of the Russian Revolution and the great exploits of the heroic Vladimir Lenin. How can this be? Today I want to talk to you about the blood rites of the secret brotherhood. The blood rites, that's R-I-T-E-S, of the secret brotherhood. who are the secret brotherhood? What is the secret brotherhood? It is made up of all of the men and women who have given their lives over to Satan. And they have founded secret societies and orders over the decades, over the centuries. They know that maybe this cannot be accomplished in their lifetime, but their goal, their universal aspirations are to overthrow all things good and destroy every vestige of Jesus Christ and His righteousness and to put on the world throne the representative of none other than Satan, the great red dragon. You may say such people could not possibly exist. I say to you, I have so much proof, it could fill up the Fort Knox vault. Of course, that wouldn't be hard to do because they say that most American gold has already been sold to foreign banks and the vault at Fort Knox is empty today. But regardless, I'm going to give you some examples of people who in pleasant, nice society are the rich, the wealthy, the loved, the respected, the admired people on this earth. And yet they are monsters in their hearts and they're guilty of the most sobering, shocking crimes. We'll look at some men historical, some men modern. They're everywhere in every agency of human life in our culture. They're in our music industry. They are in our media. They are presidents and prime ministers. And they have no compunction about squashing you like a bug. Our 3,000 at the World Trade Center towers are 300,000 or 3 billion people. Some years ago, I was driving through the state of Georgia, and I came across what appeared to be an American Stonehenge in a field. At that time, no one had heard about it. Juan and I were driving back from a conference. We said, let's drive through the South and see what's going on in Georgia and Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana on our way back to Texas. And so there we were in Georgia in this town, Eberton, Georgia. Small town, nice town. We noticed there were certainly traces of Freemasonry in the town, as you'll find in most southern towns. The post office and other buildings dedicated by Masons, and the square and compass plaques in bronze posted on the, displayed on the wall outside those buildings. But just outside of town was this strange Stonehenge monument. And it looked like it was opened. You know, there was no visitors. I was the only one there. One, and I stopped my car and I said, this is strange out in this field, out on this highway on the way to Eberton, Georgia, this little town that had no real significance historically as far as I knew. And we got out and I noticed that these huge granite slabs of stone had, they were monuments. They were set up in an occult order that I was easily able to comprehend in their position to various stars and planets. And I saw that they had huge bronze plaques on them with words written in a number of languages. And they declared that the good men of the world must come together and pledge that the world's population would be reduced to 500 million to make the world sustainable. And this memorial was built and dedicated to the proposition, evidently, that out of 6 billion people on this earth, 5.5 billion must be slaughtered, demolished, destroyed, murdered to make it a sustainable, environmentally correct planet. Environmental wackos in the little town of Everton, Georgia? Evidently so. I drove into town and it was nearing 6 o'clock. And I saw that the little city hall, in the parking lot, there was a car. And I thought maybe somebody in there could tell me about these guide stones. I found out that's what they were called, the Georgia guide stones. And so I pulled into the parking lot, and the sign on the door said City Hall is closed at 5 p.m., but there was a man inside. I just opened the door. It happened to be open. Turned out to be the city manager. Not many city managers or mayors work late, but this gentleman, young man of about 40, was working. And I said, I know it's late. He said, well, yeah, I was just fixing to go home. I'm just turning out the lights. And I said, well, I have some questions. I really need your help. I'm curious about these guide stones. And his face turned white almost. He said, the Georgia guide stones. I said, yes, that's what they're called. He says, well, and we chatted about 10 or 15 minutes, and he told me a little bit about it. And I said, this was built by Masons, wasn't it? And he really grew scared then. He's, yes. I said, who owns the land there? Well, I can't tell you. The owners just call themselves JC. They're mocking Jesus Christ. JC. He didn't say that. I said that. He was almost embarrassed to admit. Prominent Masons in that area, under orders or directions from someone, had built this horrible structure. I got back to my offices, and a new book had just arrived I'd ordered, called First Lady of the World, from Robert Mueller, the author. He was Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations. All 39 of its directorates worked for him for over two decades, through successive secretaries general, Trygve Lie, Utant, I can't even think of all Mr. Cuellar and others. He worked and managed the day-to-day operations of the United Nations in New York City. And Mr. Mueller, who established, by the way, was the founder of the Peace University down in Costa Rica, a very peaceful, loving man, revealed quite a few things in his book, First Lady of the World, about the United Nations and its building. He said the land was chosen, not only chosen, it was donated by the Rockefellers. John D. Rockefeller donated the land. But why was this piece of land next to the East River, why was it chosen for the United Nations? Why was it given, donated by the Rockefellers? Well, it was chosen not because it was the only land available or cheap land or prime land or anything. It was chosen, he said, because it had a blood connection. Think about this. Think about that. A blood connection. You see, for many decades before the United Nations building was built, in fact, leading all the way into the 19th century, on that very site was a great cattle stockyard. And tens of thousands, untold numbers of cattle were brought in and slaughtered on that very spot. And their blood, he said, mingled with the earth, went into the ground. Nurtured Mother Earth. It developed a magical, like, aura of blood on that spot. It brought energy forces, powers into that locale, that area. It is only fitting, he said, that the United Nations be built on a site drenched in blood, because that's how it gets its power, from the blood. And I thought to another book I had in my library at the time that I hadn't read some time. I got it out. the Satanic Bible by the high priest of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, who was, of course, Jewish, like most high priests of Satan are. Eliphas Levi in the 19th century was one of the top Satanists in the world, and Masons, of course. And now we have Anton LaVey, a Jew, writing the Satanic Bible. In it, he talks about the reason for the sacrifice of animals and human beings alike by Satan worshipers. He said it's because when a life is taken, the energy force of that life is expelled or is released. And if you are the taker of that life, that energy force comes into you and you gain the power of the one that you killed in the human or animal sacrifice. And it is better as a sacrificial victim to take an innocent victim. They have more energy that has not been expended. Maybe a young virgin girl, maybe a little infant baby, and kill them with a athame, sacred to Satanists, that is, knife, in a blood ritual. Energy. Read a little bit about the assassination of John Lennon. He was with his wife Yoko Ono. They were returning from some benefit party, and they were on the sidewalk just outside the Dakota House apartments where they lived, which is sort of an interesting situation. The Dakota House apartments have long been reputed to be a hotbed of satanic cult activity inside. Some even say that no one is allowed to live in that complex unless they are a member of the Church of Satan. Whatever is the case, Mr. Lennon, who was very much involved in satanic activities, showed up with Yoko Ono, and there was this young man waiting for him who said he wanted an autograph. But instead, as you know, he pulled out a gun and slew John Lennon, killed him. Later he was asked, why? Why did you do it? This was a man you said you admired, you loved. You were a fan of his and his music. The assassin said, I wanted the energy force from him to come into me. He was a Satanist. He believed John Lennon's energy force would come into him. What was the instigator of all this? Maybe it was the one who helped John Lennon write the song Imagine, that Dolly Parton, yes, the so-called Christian country superstar Dolly Parton and Elton John sang on television a few years ago, and a Baptist church choir backed them up, and everybody in the audience, it was at a church in Nashville, a Baptist church in Nashville, Tennessee, and everybody just jumped up. They loved the song Imagine so much. Think about it. A Baptist church, a Baptist choir, Elton John, a homosexual beast, Dolly Parton, also a lesbian, but how many know that? Singing John Lennon's, a Satanist, song Imagine, that by the way was the theme song for Madeline Murray O'Hare, the head of the American Atheist Foundation. Madeline Murray O'Hare used John Lennon's song Imagine as the theme song for her television show. Why? Because the lyrics go something like this: imagine there's no heaven, no hell, only earth. Imagine there's no religion, no God. And Lennon proposes, wouldn't that be a wonderful place to live? Only earth, only us. no devil, no God, no religion, no Christianity. Imagine a wonderful place like that. That Baptist church went gaga thinking about it. Some would say, but were those really Christians? Well, of course not. But Tex, are you saying these people who walked down the altar and gave their life to Jesus could not be Christians? Of course they cannot be Christian. Who can sit and listen to a song that says how wonderful it would be? Just imagine if there was no God, no heaven, no Christianity. Imagine such a wonderful paradise being sung by a lesbian and a homosexual in a church and the people getting up and applauding. And you say they're Christians? What are Christians? What is Christianity? Don't try to get me into some crink and say, well, you don't know their heart. I don't have to know their hearts. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. I suspect Billy Graham probably would tell you that John Lennon was a saint, Saint John. But I don't care what Billy Graham said. He's a mixed up Masonic overlord himself. Dakota House Apartments. They filmed a movie there, by the way, in Dakota House Apartments. A very famous movie. Starred Mia Farrow, the wife of the great croon singer Frank Sinatra at the time. And then later Woody Allen, of course. What a tangled web we have there. In any case, Mia Farrow was seduced by some kind of magic potion or something in the movie into having sex with the devil and giving birth to the Antichrist, Satan's son. The name of the movie was Rosemary's Baby. It was about a satanic cult that existed in the Dakota House Apartments. And they had satanic rituals and satanic orgies. True life. Maybe. But I want to get back to the murder of John Lennon as a satanic sacrifice and the belief that the energy force came into him. I want to mention, too, that Sinatra's good pal, Sammy Davis, the one-eyed black entertainer and dancer, was a member of the Church of Satan. Was Frank Sinatra? I don't know. But the Rat Pack, as they call it, of Sinatra, Davis, and the others, makes it quite an interesting tale. Some would say, but Tex, these things are so grotesque, they're so far afield from what the average person can understand. When I was a young man, sometimes at our home we would get an advertisement in the mail. It was an advertisement for a Catholic orphan's home, Father Flanagan's Boys Town. You probably turned on TV at one time or another, and there was the great young actor Mickey Rooney, the spoiled brat, little juvenile delinquent. And he was sent because of his incorrigible behavior to Father Flanagan's Boys Town. And Spencer Tracy, the actor, played Father Flanagan. And, of course, he was a wonderful, loving Catholic priest. And he was able to turn this juvenile delinquent Mickey Rooney around. And, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars flowed in, especially from Catholics, into Father Flanagan's Boys Town there in Nebraska. When we return in just a minute, we've run out of time for this half. We'll talk more about Father Flanagan and his Boys Town and its pedophilia murder operation. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We're talking today about the blood rites of the secret brotherhood. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Did you know that the Washington Times newspaper once exposed a satanic call boy ring being run out of the Reagan White House? It's true. You'll read about this in a 412-page book called The Franklin Cover-Up, Child Abuse, Satanism, and Murder in Nebraska. It seems that one of the top civic leaders there in Omaha, Nebraska, was involved in a satanic pedophile snuff ring. They actually filmed young boys being raped, tortured, and killed. And they also ran a call boy ring. They would pick up little boys from Father Flanagan's Catholic Boys Home Orphanage and fly them on executive jets to Washington, D.C., where they were molested by some congressmen and senators and top government officials, and they even did it in the White House. This was pre-Clinton, of course. Were they Republicans? Mm-hmm. And Democrats? Yes. And they had the Catholic priests cooperating in their horrors. This book is written by John DeCamp, attorney, former state senator from Nebraska. He was the attorney who represented one of the boys and his family who was molested and was witness to these horror. Think of parties with kids at Father Flanagan's Boys Town, and they were admitted to by the Monsignor in charge of it. He told Senator DeCamp, "I tried to stop it, but my superiors in the Catholic Church would not allow me to do so." The Franklin Cover-Up is the name of this book. It's called The Franklin Cover-Up because the ringleader of all this was a very rich man who was the founder and head of a savings and loan, the Franklin Savings and Loan, that went bankrupt during the 70s. But listen, you say, well, he must have been an evil man. How did he know those politicians? This guy, this pedophile monster who ran the Franklin cover-up, a pedophilia boys murder snuff ring, he was so popular among the Republican politicians, they even liked the way he sang. And he sang the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, at the Republican National Convention when they nominated their candidates for president, vice president. He was the guy that sang the national anthem up on the podium with a national television audience watching. 412 pages, only $15, because we want you to have it. By the way, we have a tape too, an audio tape, where I interview the author, Senator John DeCamp, former Army officer, Green Beret, involved in the CIA. He worked with William Colby, the director of the CIA. So this is a knowledgeable man. If these things weren't true, do you think he could have got away with writing a book like this? Of course they're true. He even has newspaper printings and headlines in here, you'll see. The Franklin Cover-Up, 412-page book, $15. The tape of Tex Mars interviewing John DeCamp, 60 minutes for $8. Please add $4 shipping and handling. Now, to get your book, The Franklin Cover-Up, just phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Again, $19 would be postpaid for the book, The Franklin Cover-Up. $12 for the audio tape interview when I interviewed Senator DeCamp. Now, again, our phone number toll-free in the United States and Canada, 1-800-234-9673. You can write to us and send us money for this and put a little sticky note or a piece of paper in there and say, "Tex, send me the book, The Franklin Cover-Up," or the tape, also entitled The Franklin Cover-Up. Make sure you tell us if it's the book or the tape or both that you want. Write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And now let's return to our regular program. We're discussing the blood rites of the secret brotherhood. The blood rites of the secret brotherhood. Karl Marx came from a long lineage of Jewish rabbis. That's right. His maid, after his death, talked about the fact that he had a sort of a Jewish-Hebrew Kabbalistic type altar set up in a little room in his apartment. And they had black candles on it, very satanic looking. And he would have a prophylactory band around his head. And he would do a ritual, a black, ominous ritual, said the maid. She said it frightened her to see him in there bowing before the one she suspected was Satan. Karl Marx came from this long line of rabbis, and he, of course, supposedly wrote, maybe others did, you never know nowadays, but he supposedly wrote two books, Das Kapital and The Capitalist, and another book called The Communist Manifesto. Vladimir Lenin loved the book. So did the whole Jewish movement at the time. The international Jewish movement saw communism as the vehicle by which they could establish their Jewish utopia and take over the whole world. First, they would conquer Russia, overthrow the Tsar. Next, Germany. And then the world would be their oyster. And you know they did it. They did it. And now, friends, we're simply in a consolidation stage of that Jewish plan that is set out in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. But Marx was one of them. Of course, Trotsky, an aide, second in command during the Russian horror days of communism, also was a Marxist. And there are many Marxists in America today. In fact, I would say that probably the majority of professors in political science departments on college and university campuses across America are Marxist. And they're proud of it today. Marx not only wrote those two books that I told you about, but he wrote some other interesting writings. For example, he wrote poems. Oh, he was a poet. He was a poet. Let me tell you about one of his poems he wrote called Invocation of One in Despair. Oh, he was in despair. He hated the world and everything in it, and it just made him miserable. But he said, someday I shall ruin the world that was created by God. I will be greater than God, says Karl Marx. He said, then I will be able to walk triumphantly like a god through the ruins of their kingdom. Every word of mine is fire and action. My breast is equal to that of the Creator. Ah, yes, Mr. Marx must have known about the double-headed eagle of Freemasonry. There is the boast, I shall be equal with the Creator. Then he wrote a poem called Olanim. O-U-L-A-N-E-M. I'd like to read a little bit about that, and also a poem called The Player. Let's start with The Player. Now, this is Karl Marx. Hero to the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev's savior, Khrushchev, Stalin, all of them love this man. And I'm sure many professors still love these writings. Listen to what he said in The Player. He says, the hellish vapors rise and fill the brain till I go mad, and my heart is utterly changed. See this sword? The Prince of Darkness sold it to me. For me, he beats the time and gives the signs. Ever more boldly I play the dance of death. In his poems, Marx talked about Satan, the ineffable prince of darkness who rules the earth. He spoke of the lasting foulness of Bethlehem, of the cursed Nazarene, the impotent king, the fugitive and mute God, the vile and abhorred pretender to the majesty of Satan. Of the devil, he said he is the God of light. He said of the devil whom Mark served, he said angels cower and tremble with fear and prostrate themselves before him. He is the one who sends Christian minions staggering to their doom. Ah, now we see, friends, why Vladimir Lenin and Trotsky brought the Red Terror, blood rights, to Russia. Do you think that the massacre of 66 million people in the Soviet Empire by the communist monsters was just fun and games? Yes, well, it was, but it's more than that. Every person killed was a sacrificial victim to Satan. This is not some political ideology without consequences, dear friends. I'm talking about the blood ritual, the rites of the secret brotherhood, the synagogue of Satan itself. And Olenem, listen to the words, talk about the megalomania. It wasn't enough to kill 66 million, I suppose. Marx wanted billions. Remember I told you about the Georgia Guidestones. We must kill 5.5 billion out of 6 billion in all. Olenem, writes Marx, the name rings forth like death. Rings forth until it dies away in a wretched crawl. Stop! I've got it now. It rises from my soul, as clear as air, as strong as my bones. Yet I have power within my youthful arms to clench and crush you, humanity, with tempestuous force, while for us both the abyss yawns in darkness. You will sink down and I shall follow laughing. Whispering in your ears, descend, come with me, friend. I, said Marx, shall howl gigantic curses on mankind. Gigantic curses on mankind. What did Marx in his communist diseased mind, his synagogue of Satan-inspired philosophy, what did he want to do to the whole world? Let me tell you, in his own words. He says, the world which bulks between me and the abyss, I will smash to pieces with my enduring curses. I'll throw my arms around its harsh reality. Embracing me, the world will dumbly, get that, dumbly pass away, and then sink down to utter nothingness, perished with no existence. That would be really living. He would be really living, he says, if the whole world would sink down to utter nothingness, perish, no existence, dumbly so. Friends, when Christian educators tell you that they've been dumbing down people, that's exactly what they've been doing. Because Marx wants people dumb. And then they will endure him tolerably. After all, we all must have tolerance, say the politically correct masters of today. Listen to what he says. He wants to overthrow the circle of stars, overthrow the globes that float in space, destroy what serves nature, protect what harms it. These are his words. He says, perhaps we will be able to attack the sun, deprive the universe of it, or use it to set the world on fire. These would be real crimes. Friends, they're developing laser and other charged particle energy beam weapons that use the sun to bring fire on earth. And I thought about Revelation 13. The beast, the man with the number 666, he causes fire. He brings fire from the heavens down to earth. And seeing this miracle, the masses worship him. And they say, who could possibly make war against him? They wonder after him in admiration. They don't hate him. They don't fear him. They love Big Brother. Blood rites of the secret brotherhood, leading finally to the Kabbalistic solution you find in the Jewish system of magic called the Kabbalah. The synagogue of Satan has as its ultimate goal, listen to me clearly, this is something no one will tell you but Tex Mars, listen to me friends, they have the obliteration, the annihilation of the entire planet, the sun, the stars, the universe, what God created, they wish to destroy. This is the meaning of Satan and his minions, including his human agents. You think that these people are bad, but not that bad, but they are that bad. 3,000 at World Trade Center towers is nothing. 4,000 or 5,000 or whatever it was at Pearl Harbor, nothing. 50 million perish in the flames of World War II, nothing. They've got bigger aspirations of that. That's just a Sunday picnic casualty rate. You say, tell us some more about these people. Oppenheimer was one of them. He helped to develop the atomic bomb under the direction of 32nd degree Mason Franklin Roosevelt, and then 33rd degree Mason Harry Truman. Do you think that the use of the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki was to defeat the Japanese? No. It was a satanic ritual, and they used the Hegelian dialectic. You must have the thesis and the antithesis. They couldn't just bomb one city. They had to bomb two cities. Use two nuclear bombs because there had to be opposing forces. Everything was set up as a satanic ritual. And scientist and manager of the Manhattan Project, Oppenheimer, who later was outed as a communist spy, and his security clearance was withdrawn from him. That's right, he was a communist spy, but he helped to develop the nuclear bomb. Seeing the first test results in the mushroom cloud there in the desert, guess what Oppenheimer wrote in his diary? This Jewish man, Oppenheimer, do you think he said, oh, I don't know if Jehovah would be happy with this. Oh, we've done a terrible thing here. Did he quote the Torah? Did he quote the Old Testament? No. I'll tell you what he did. Read history. He quoted the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindu scriptures, Satan's Bible. The words of the satanic Hindu chief of the pantheon of gods. I am become the destroyer of worlds. Oppenheimer, the father of the atomic bomb, later proven to be a communist spy. What did he write? What did he say about the atomic bomb? The first blast, he said, I am become the destroyer of worlds. What did Marx say? Wouldn't it be great to destroy the sun, the globes, the circle of stars, and finally the earth and everything in it? That would be real crimes. He took delight in imagining the whole creation being destroyed. Not too long ago, I reported on a book I'd got. It had been published in France to some consternation, and then it came to America. Nobody seemed to care. It was entitled Abortion as a Religious Sacrament. Put out by feminist witches. Got a big audience in New Age bookstores. abortion as a religious sacrament. Imagine, since Roe versus Wade, we probably killed 50 million babies. What's it for? Some people say, oh, it's terrible. It's just for the convenience of the mother. It's you know, pro-choice is a... Shut up! I'll tell you what it is. It's a satanic ritual. Those little babies are innocent in the womb, and that's the best kind of victim from the status point of the Church of Satan and the secret brotherhood. You and I sit back, and the Christian world sit back, and we worry about helping this puny little anti-God nation of Israel, trying to help them take over the world. That's the goal of John Hagee and the late Jerry Falwell and James Dobson. When we still have 50 million babies that have died in satanic blood rituals. It's not for just the convenience of the mother. If it were, they wouldn't love to give partial birth abortions. Real live babies, and they take in and squeeze their heads and pull them out of the womb channel after they've been killed, murdered. Friends, you don't understand something. These people are bloodthirsty. 50 million babies is nothing. It's just a start. The guidestones put there by Mason said 5.5 billion. But you say, well, who were those Masons? Who cares? Prince Philip, head of the World Life Fund, the husband of Queen Elizabeth of England, who recently visited America. He says, in my next life, when I'm reincarnated, I want to come back as a virus, like the AIDS virus, so I can decimate the human race. It's a plague on the planet, and I'd like to kill billions of people as a virus. He wants to be reincarnated as a virus, come back, and massacre almost everybody on Earth. That's the husband of the Queen of England. In America, Cable News Network was founded by Ted Turner, I believe with the help of the elite. He said we've got too many people on this planet. We need to reduce the population to 500 million. Makes me wonder. You know, he set up Cable News Network in Atlanta, Georgia. Just down the highway, Eberton, Georgia Guidestones. Same concept. We got to kill 5.5 billion people so we can have a sustainable earth. Only 500 million or so. It's interesting to me that Ted Turner did not volunteer to be one of the 5.5 billion people that are going to be killed. He thinks he's so good, he's a god on earth, he's going to be one of the 500 million left. Maybe so, maybe not. Read my good friend Des Griffin's book, Fourth Reich of the Rich. The secret of Freemasonry that the Masons don't know themselves in their ignorance is that when their universal Masonic world order comes into being, the first victims will be the Masons. In Russia, the Jewish communists put Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin in power. And who were the first victims? The Jewish communists. And it all ended after the Jews ran the concentration gulag camps in Russia and had massacred hundreds of thousands, no, millions of Christians. Then comes Joseph Stalin to say, now it's time for all the Jews to die. That's right, when Stalin died supposedly of a brain hemorrhage in that massive walled fortress called the Kremlin, he had on the drawing boards plans to arrest and incarcerate all the Jewish population of Russia, take them away to Siberia, and kill them all. And then we get to Revelation 13 again. He who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. This is the patience and faith of the saints. Live by the sword, die by the sword. Some people say, you don't understand, Masons are good people. They couldn't have put together the Georgia Guidestones with its bloody intent. Yeah, I know about the Masons. I know about the Shriners. They worship at the shrine of Muhammad and Allah. That's why they call them the Shriners. They're Muslim wannabes. They've taken an oath. The noble mystic order of the Arab blockity blocks. Until recently, only 32nd and higher degree Masons could become Shriners. Very coveted position. They wear these strange-looking Moroccan Islamic hats. They're sort of a maroon-red color. You ever wonder what the meaning of the Fez hat? You see, there's a city in Morocco in North Africa called Fez. It was there that the Christian crusaders fought the Muslim conquerors. And the Muslims captured the city of Fez and massacred every Christian they could get their hands on. And the Muslims, crying out, Allah is great, long live Muhammad, massacred the Christians. And they said there was so much blood it flowed in the streets. And as they rode by with their Islamic swords killing and marauding, they took the caps off their heads and dipped it in the blood of Christians. Stained a crimson red. It became almost maroon in color. The Fez caps of the Shriner Masons commemorates the mass murder of thousands of Christians and that horrible criminal event. Friends, I'm telling you, today we have a plan to depopulate the planet. I've read the report from Iron Mountain. Have you? I did an audio tape of it. It's available from this ministry for $12 postpaid. The report from Iron Mountain, the plan to depopulate the planet. We need to save the environment. We need to save the endangered species. We can only do that by killing off people. Zero population growth. Who was for that? George Herbert Walker Bush. In fact, he was the national director of ZPG organization, an organization founded by Rockefellers. We're there, friends. These people are in charge. George W. Bush, do you think that the Iraq war is only to capture the oil? That's what the liberals will tell you. They just want, the oil companies want that oil. Of course they want riches. They want money. But they want, listen to this, blood. The Lancet Medical Journal from Great Britain says 657,000 Iraqis have died since the beginning of that conflict. Human sacrifices. Superintended by the synagogue of Satan and their puppet stooge, George W. Bush. This is Tex Mars. We've been exposing today the blood rites of the secret brotherhood. But remember this, friends. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. Until next week, this is Tex Mars inviting you to tune in and discover the power of prophecy.